Hi, y'all. This is Kristen Chenoweth.
Hi, I'm Gloria Stefan.
This is Sarah Bareilles.
Hi, I'm Patti LuPone.
This is Lin-Manuel Miranda. You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Hello, everybody.
The way that you just looked at me and posed, as if you would...
What did I do, John?
I don't know. It was a lot. I'm not gonna yuck your yum. Yes, and you better pose, bitch. Work, beat, sound. Yeah. I saw Billy Porter on the street a couple weeks ago, and I'm still feeling myself from it.
This is not appropriation. I'm an episode behind, but I watched the episode last night where he had some. What?
I'm super behind.
Oh, you're super behind. Okay. I'll just say. He gets his for a little bit. There's a little how Stella got her groove back on Pose.
Oh.
Yeah, with Mr. Billy.
Billy Porter.
Yeah, I still wish I liked the show more. But you know what?
Yeah,
I'm going to keep watching.
This season, that's why I'm a bit behind this season's. Wait, who are we? What is this?
I don't know anymore. Welcome to Broadway Breakdown. I am a full person today, Mr. Matt Koplik, as opposed to your other co-host.
Who's barely a zygote. John with Scavenge. Hi,
and welcome. We're starting in our purest form today, after a little hiatus, which is honestly just, it's par for the course with us. Like, you know how I think of us? We're like that cool band that never announces, like, when they're performing. You just kind of have to figure it out because they do pop-ups all the time.
Yeah.
That's us and this podcast. We are a pop-up podcast.
Yeah, and I also think we're very similar to a band in the sense that every time we call one of us going to rehab, we call it a hiatus. You know?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, or like just, you know, anytime one of us is in the corner crying about life and existence, we're like...
Matt, get it together.
Get it together, Matt. Yeah, that is us. Anyway, hi, John. It's been a little bit.
It's been a mo. It's been a mo for these two mos.
Yeah.
How are you doing? Let's start with you.
Well, John, I'm so happy I can set you up with this.
Do you really want to follow my act?
No, this is going to work out quite nicely for you. I am fine. I'm currently getting over a bit of a cold.
Oh, no, I'm sorry.
It's fine. I am sort of in development with some projects, which is fun, but
yay.
It's that whole, like, hurry up and wait situation where it's like,
yep.
You take a lot of meetings, everybody's very interested, and now you have to sit around and wait so they can get their shit together.
Yep.
But you want to know the best thing about all of it?
What?
I can't complain at all because I'm sitting next to you.
You're sitting next to patient zero.
Yeah.
I mean.
So if you had any semblance of pity for me and my cold and my waiting around, it's going to get torn to fucking pieces. Just like Elaine Stritch's vocal cords. I don't know. I was going to say somebody current.
You had a lot of doubt in your eyes when you said that.
Well, because I was going to say someone current, and then I backed out of it almost like the moment I started saying a late stretch.
Don't doubt yourself. You're on stage with Jennifer Lewis. Get yourself together.
I'll never regret telling you that story.
I just heard it. I honestly don't even want to tell the listeners. Maybe we'll end this, because we've never told it on here.
What?
That story.
No, I just told it to you now.
I know. Do you think I remember anything?
No.
No. At the end, we'll fill you in
on that little
Easter egg.
Yeah.
So for me, right now, where I am in my current place in life, if I'm being my truest self.
Swear to God, I'm gonna fucking strangle you.
I mean, honestly, it's where my life's going anyways.
Do you plan to hook up with Andy Carl anytime soon?
Maybe. I'm never gonna take that hot dog off the plate, if you know what I mean. Huh. I don't know.
That peach can stay in my bed anytime. Call me by your name, Ralph.
I know, but also, like, great, yeah, I know they were on a peach farm, blah, 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 but, like, peaches in beds, just, who would ever eat a peach in bed? It's so messy.
I mean,
and I get that was like his little like jerk off bed. Like we've all been there.
Yeah,
we all have our little.
We all
barn,
had a little jerk off.
We
bed.
We all had our little barn jerk off bed. Yeah, we get
we,
it.
We all ben, had a little. Ben, a lo- we all had a little lone mattress in the attic that nobody goes to. side note: we'll get to how John's doing in a hot second because believe me, it's a fucking 3-act opera. But the recent Little Women trailer dropped,
yes.
Which. Side note, I'm not really here for, only because...
I am for.
Well, I'm sure, of course you are.
Oh,
I've,
fuck you.
I got a million texts about it, because everyone's like, it's so on brand for you. It's really on brand for John. I'm obsessed with the 90s Little Women. That one has been important
I've
to me.
I've never seen it.
Oh, it's delightful. And it's
That's Winona. That's Winona Ryder, yeah.
And Claire Danes, Susan Sarandon, Kirsten Dunst, like everybody. Christian Bale.
Oh.
Yeah, that one was very important to me for most of my life. So, like, I have no need for a new Little Women, even
that.
Though I do love everyone in it. But I... Also telling people, like, I cannot not look at Timothy Chalamet's face anymore and not just think about how he comes into a peach. Like, it's just... He could be like, Saoirse Ronan, marry me, Little Women. And I'm just like, you came in a peach.
Billy, I beg to differ with you.
How do you mean?
You're the top.
Yeah.
You're an arrow collar.
Mm-hmm.
You're the top. You're a Coolidge dollar.
So, yeah, I mean, I've... been I was the first like public place I was transparent with my journey with cancer
you can't see me everyone but I literally just buried my face in a pillow.
It's not my fault. I have to eat a lot and I haven't had an attitude. Oh my god, I feel like I'm high. I haven't had an appetite and so literally mere seconds before hitting record on this I scarfed down an egg salad wrap. So.
He really did. I walked. So we are in John's lovely home, and the moment I walked in, he said, "Sorry for the smell." And I said, "What smell?" And all I could smell were
just like
essential
oil, aromatic essential oils,
followed by the stench of egg salad. So it's that is in a nutshell what gay sex is like, children.
Yeah, it is.
Yes, essential oils followed by egg salad.
Yeah.
Also, I'm not sure how this is going to sound in the final product. So if the sound quality is odd, we apologize. I am currently recording on my laptop via a beautiful blue snowball mic, and John is recording into his phone.
I'm recording from a, what are these things called? Not a lapel mic, but a lap mic.
Okay.
I'm recording from a lap mic because my computer that I normally would use to record has been so on the fritz. I actually recently just got a new one, but the new one doesn't have GarageBand on it, and I actually like don't know even how to use the new one yet. So this is all to say that I am looking right now, and GarageBand is starting, so I might take a second and like switch over. But yeah, so what I was starting to say before my absolute trash body got in the, my absolute trash raccoon body got in the way, and I burped. Was the first place that I was, like, really, other than, like, friends and loved ones, was publicly transparent with my... Battle with cancer just sounds so dramatic.
But?
My journey with cancer, I guess. This was one of the first places that I publicly shared it. And so, you know, it's been a road. We recorded our episode with Sutton while I was in rehearsals. I don't know if at that point, or we had maybe just opened.
You've been doing the show
previews.
At that point,
yeah.
You had just opened.
And so, very shortly after, surprise, surprise, we got our closing notice. I was actually not, you know, it's a very hard time to sell tickets. Mm-hmm. It was a off-Broadway musical with no, like, huge star names. And even, I mean... We got our closing notice the same week as Broadway Bounty Hunter with, like, Annie Golden. And, like, it's a Joe Icona show. Like, it all helped, like, ease the blow. But, like, excuse me. Our show was a huge cast. Musicals are expensive,
they
y'all.
Are expensive.
Very expensive. And
John specifically don't come cheap, despite
no,
what you might have heard.
I come expensive.
Or
I
you come, don't come at all.
Or I come in a barn in a loft next to Timothy Chalamet. It's
barn in a loft.
A loft in a barn.
Is that?
Yeah, that's it. No, and so I've been, you know, and so I appreciate that people have reached out, and it's all been very kind. And the reason why, like, even the last episode we really didn't talk about it a lot was because I had my surgery. Everything was very successful. I am a one ball man, and I am proud of it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's few of us who get to claim this title, and we are proud to wear this badge. Lance Armstrong. There's a famous New York porn star who only has one ball. And I've actually watched his videos and didn't even know he had one ball until someone told me about it.
Steve on Sex and the City only had one ball.
Steve on Sex and the City. Idina Menzel, only one ball. and so I've been wearing it very proudly. I knew you'd like that one.
I did.
So I've been wearing it very, very proudly. And I've been very lucky that, you know, I go in, I've been going to Sloan Kettering, which is like the tops for this bottoms. Yeah. I mean, it's truly, they've been amazing.
Do you think that all of this in your genital area is God's way of telling you that you should be topping instead of bottoming?
Someone actually asked me that
recently. Really? Legitimately?
I'm not kidding. They were like, do you think this is like something? And I was like, Mom, shut up. I'm actually also going to try to smoothly transition over into, because I got it working.
Not into top.
What kind of psycho do you think I am?
No.
I'm going to transition into this new mic, so let's try. 3, 2, 1. I think we're good.
Okay.
So I'm still going to save this.
Your computer's like the angel in Angels in America telling you to stop moving.
Yes. Billy, I better devil with you. Okay.
Let's just do
this
one again.
It also apparently wants me to be a top. So, I've been going to Sloan Kettering. That's the point that it keeps freezing at, but it didn't this time. I've been going to Sloan Kettering, and they've been amazing. And I've been getting my blood tests every week, and I've been going in for a lot of CAT scans and chest x-rays and a lot of things that just affirm how skinny and beautiful my bones are. And
truly.
And so with this form of cancer, there's this thing in your blood that males produce that was one of the markers that they were able to diagnose me from. It's called your AFP number. I believe I maybe talked about it last time. Everyone's number is supposed to be 8 or under. My number before I got the surgery was in the 8,000s. So I was like 1,000 times more than what you should be. Mm-hmm. So all my every week after you get the surgery and the tumor removed, you are supposed to go in, get blood work, and your blood level is supposed to go down by half every week. Mm-hmm. So the week after the surgery, it was supposed to be down to 4,000. Then the next week, 2,000. So on, so on. So basically, I was super excited last week because I was supposed to get my clean bill of health on Thursday, and you know, I had, like, a super, like, exciting Facebook post planned about, like, guys, some of you didn't know this. I'm a belly gummer. And that's my voice online. I hope that is how you read most of the things that I
write. I do read it that way. I do read your voice a lot higher.
Yeah. So, I went in, and one of the first things that was weird was I went and checked my, you have an online portal through... Mm-hmm. Excuse me, Sloan Kettering, wasted. Mm-hmm. And in the very last minute, they changed my follow-up appointment to a CAT scan and a follow-up appointment. And I was like, you know, sure, they're just being careful.
Sure.
Had the CAT scan, always super fun when they inject you with iodine for the contrast because it feels like fire going through your blood. You, like, feel it spread through you. But it was very cold in the office, and so, fun fact, if you ever get a CAT scan or a CT scan, and they offer you a blanket, take it, because they offered me a blanket because it was cold, and I was like, bitch.
My whole world is cold.
Right, I'm like, well, I'm gay, bitch, like, I'll own the day. Like, the cold literally never bothered me anyway.
Oh my god, I'm like, gonna fucking
literally
punch you.
Bitch. And so I didn't take it, and they have to put some saline in your IV before they do the iodine to kind of, like, make sure that, you know, it's going in correctly, blah, 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 blah. They start putting, and normally the saline feels like nothing. They start putting the saline in, and I'm like, oh my god, what are you doing to me? Mm-hmm. She's like, oh, are you cold? I was like, quite. And she was like, your blood vessels are constricted. She's like, your IV is fine, but I will warn you, the contrast is going to burn more than usual. And I was like, okay, I got this. She's like, okay, I'm putting it in now. And I was like, ah! just like screaming. It hurt so bad. And so that was like a really fun way to start the day. And so then I run over because I was super late for my follow-up appointment because of how long that took. And I had a matinee that day. We randomly had a Thursday matinee last week. And I walk up and I'm like, hey, I'm already like going to be late for half hour. Like, I'm going to be late for work. Could we get me in as soon as possible? And he was like, sure. So they get me in super quickly. My doctor, who looks like Larry David, comes in. And the first thing he says is, he goes, oh, you're alone. And I was like, yeah. Yeah. And then he was like, have you thought about sperm banking? Do you want a sperm bank? I don't remember. Did we talk about this? And I was like, what are you talking about? What's going on? So he was like, oh, okay. I guess he was like going to like, he was originally just checking on me and then was about to come back in, but he instead he was like, oh, something's not right. So he closed the door. So, they've known this the whole time since my surgery, but they either told me and I just didn't understand what they meant, which is a possibility. Mm. You know me.
Yeah. I know you and I don't know science,
I barely know what's going on
on these podcasts.
Exactly. So he starts talking and spouting out all these big words, and he's like, and then he starts being like, so basically, like, your three choices are blah, 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 and they were all really scary, and I was like, I'm sorry, pause, like, what is going on? And he's like, well, we identified vascular invasion with your tumor. And I was like, well, that sounds not threatening. Mm-hmm. And so basically vascular invasion means that it was found testicular cancer has a very specific pattern that it goes in, which is why it's also a very treatable form of cancer. Like breast cancer, we were talking about a little bit earlier, because of its location, it kind of just like automatically spreads wherever it kind of wants to go. Mm. Testicular cancer, the first place that it spreads is your lymph nodes, these very specific lymph nodes in your abdomen, and then it spreads willy-nilly, let's go to town.
Yeah.
So, basically they identified that my lucky little lymph nodes had been attacked and that the cancer had spread to them. And so, basically, I had three choices. Do nothing, which I have a 50-50% chance of, like, relapsing horribly. Chemo, which they don't actually recommend, or an RP-LND, it's called, which is the surgery where they cut me from my breastbone to my pelvis. You know, hold me open like a frog on a science table, and it's like a 5 to 8 hour surgery, and they go in and they remove a bunch of lymph nodes from the back of my abdomen. And so luckily, if you do that, I only have a 5% chance of relapsing, which is much better than 50. And like he was like kind of telling me all this and like more, but like I was barely understanding. I was trying to write down quickly because I was alone. And I knew I had to get out of there. And so I was like, can I have a day to think about it? He was like, sure. Thought about it for the day. My family and my loved ones, blah, blah, blah. We all did like a ton of research. We talked about it. And, you know, I at first I was like, 50-50, actually, you know, it's a flip of a coin. Mm. But I was like, is that a chance that I'm willing to take? And then I was thinking about it more. One of the reasons why I developed testicular cancer is because I had calcium deposits on my testicle. And these calcium deposits only had a 10% chance of turning cancerous. So I've already faced 90-10.
Yeah.
And I've been in the bad. It was quite easy to be in the bad. Quite easy. Didn't try very hard. And then only 30% of people with this form of cancer have vascular invasion. So I was like, all right, that's already 70-30.
Yeah.
I'm in the bad. So suddenly 50-50, like...
That pool has become so wide.
It seems like not great. So, you know, we did research, and I called them the next day, asked a bunch of questions, because I had to have them explain a couple things to me. Mm. And I've been waiting to tell the world about this, because I think it's something that more people should know about.
About cancer, about you?
Just about life, that this is even a possibility. Because I didn't know this could happen. So... like I said, they go in, they remove all these lymph nodes. I have to eat, lucky side, I have to eat a lot of fatty foods right now because it makes my lymph nodes bigger. Downside, I haven't really had an appetite the last couple days, so it's been weird.
Yeah, you like have to force feed yourself.
Yeah.
Which isn't, you know, against the norm for you.
No. But, afterwards, I won't be able to eat for about 4 days because my intestines will be so, like, swollen. Mm. I won't, like, want to eat or be able to because they will literally be moving my intestines around. I was like, this feels so weird. And so I was like, okay, you know, like, not being able to eat. And I was like, so, but we were talking and people had, like, been throwing this word around. And before I officially said yes, I was just like, I need an actual explanation of what this is. Because people kept throwing around the term retroactive ejaculation.
I just suddenly started paying attention again.
And, and, I think the world needs to know about this because I think it is hysterical. So, the nerves that control the valve that release semen into your penis from, you know, your your testes and everything, those nerves are intertwined with your lymph nodes in your abdomen. Fun fact. So, with this procedure, they have nerve-sparing techniques where they try to spare it. Like, this used to be much more common to happen to men who had the surgery. Mm-hmm. But they now have these nerve-sparing techniques where they don't have to slice the nerves. If they do, for most people, if they get it, this only lasts like a month or so, and then it heals. Some people, it's long-term, might last a year. It's rare that it's permanent, but I guess it is a possibility. But so because these nerves might be severed and this valve might not know to open, they had to tell me that if I ever do this thing that's called an orgasm that I hear happens when you fuck a peach, instead of ejaculating out the penis, the semen goes into my bladder and I would pee it out. So if this happens to me and I come.
If. It's a big if for you.
If. I will be peeing out cum. Can you believe?
Well, John, we've always talked about how much of a slut you are. I guess now it'll just, like, be scientifically true.
What? What kind of weird, like, just, I mean, like, I honestly, it's one of those things that someone explains it to you and you're like, where's the camera? You're pulling my leg.
I mean,
I'm not gonna pee cum. Might pee cum? Okay, might pee cum. Good to know.
On the bright side, I think we just found the title for our episode.
Might pee cum?
No, a retroactive ejaculation, a cancer musical.
Oh, it'd be good.
Yeah, that'll probably be the title.
Yeah, I like that. Yeah. No, I mean, also the musical.
Yeah, that'll be our next project when you come back from
the I Want song, Pee What I Wanna Pee. Pee What I Wanna Pee. I know what I want, you know. I don't need you to tell me what's true. If you don't like it, daddy, you can. Oh, this is a theater podcast.
Yeah, it's
I
a
remember.
Theater podcast. So now that we've indulged John and his stupid...
Oh, shut the fuck up.
You called it your battle with cancer. I
said not my battle.
No, but I think the better way to describe it is that cancer is like a really uncooperative scene partner with you.
Oh my god, so much.
That's
so.
Really what it is. It's less that of a battle and more just you're trying to work out this scene and cancer's like, you're trying to say yes and cancer's like no.
Be selfish.
Yeah, be selfish. What this means for the pod, for those of you who are wondering, will this mean no more Broadway breakdown?
No.
Probably, because I'm done with John. No. You're actually going to get a couple of my obsessions in the future while John recuperates. Because when he comes back, even though he'll have time on his hands, I want him to be his best self.
Yeah. I probably need like a month and a half before
Don't you worry, kid. There are many actors, writers, directors just dying to tell the world what they're obsessed with and for me to just sit there and judge.
You're right.
So I'll be doing that next week while you're lying on a hospital bed sewn up. But thoughts and prayers, thoughts and prayers.
Thanks. I get like a girdle too to keep my innards in. Be oh excited my God. About that.
John, what I would give for a girdle and have it be like medically induced. A medically induced girdle would be phenomenal.
Yeah. I will say, so not to come back to it, but I do want to really quickly just... cancer, there's no skinny like cancer skinny.
Cause no.
It's just... People keep being like, you look so good. And I'm like...
Cancer.
I truly don't know what else to say to it. I'm like, I try to eat. I can't. Even when I do eat, I can't seem to keep it on. I'm down to the lowest that I've been since college, which I'm not pleased with.
No.
But let me tell you, like...
Yeah. So theater, we...
Yes, that again.
Yes.
Sorry.
So the last time John and I were alone in a room talking about theater was after the Tony Awards, and we talked about the Tony Awards, but we didn't really, like, reflect on this past season.
No.
And I think we should, because I know that I've seen a lot, and I ended up reflecting a lot on this season because, as some of you know, as I was reminding John recently, I do write cast album reviews, some of which I'm sure... people find controversial, like my opinions on Heathers and Amelie. But I was just recently listening to the cast albums for Mean Girls and, more relevantly, Beetlejuice.
Beetlejuice, yes.
And I was telling John how I saw Beetlejuice on stage, had a fucking ball.
Yeah, I can't wait to see it. I've heard it's so fun.
It is so much fun. Surprisingly raunchy. Lot of R-rated humor that, like, I'm not mad about. Just it was... It caught me a bit off guard because the movie... When was the last time you saw the movie?
I've never seen the movie.
You've never seen the movie? No. You would like the movie a great deal.
I know. I have time to watch it.
Yes, you do. I mean, it's like really what made Tim Burton famous and gave him his signature style. And the whole like idea behind the movie is that it deals with death, but in a very dry, humorous kind of way.
Yeah.
So it's got like a wry sensibility about it.
Yeah, I love rye.
Yeah, I love rye. I love it. I love bread that's rye, and I love my humor rye. But the musical is very like high energy, like in your face, constantly trying to just like make jokes and make sure you have a good time, and that's great. But it's a very different sensibility. Like the opening scene is a funeral, and Sophia Ancruso's mom has died, and she sings this really beautiful ballad called Invisible, and it's got some like motifs that are similar to the music in the movie. But then Alex Brightman comes out and he goes, holy shit, a ballad already? And then like the rest of the show is just that, and he sings like about doing cocaine and having threesomes, and he's constantly hitting on Ron McClure in the show. He's like,
thank God.
Oh, he's like, Adam, you're so boring, but damn it, you're sexy. And he keeps pinching his ass. It's great. Yeah, but I remember seeing it, and I was like, I don't know if this show's like actually good or if I'm just having a good time, but listening to the album to review it, I was like, it's quite good, actually.
I loved the album from what, because I only listened to it a little bit, but loved it.
Yeah, no, I mean, the music's catchy. It all builds in a really good way, because one of the things, I think I talked about it last year when I saw Mean Girls for the first time, reviewing the Mean Girls cast album, it's fun. Like, I'd recommend it, but like a lot of the songs for me don't have like a strong enough build that it's like exciting. Like it always starts off well.
I felt that as well.
Yeah, yeah. Like it starts off well, and then it ends with these big high belted notes. But like getting to it just sort of feels kind of
filler, like, filler, filler, filler.
Yeah, exactly. It's like melody, 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 up the octave, end.
Yeah.
But Beetlejuice, I found that the songs actually had like a nice build to them. They had a progression to them. The lyrics are genuinely funny.
Yeah.
Yeah, and. Like, it's definitely going to be divisive. Not everyone's going to love that kind of sense of humor. But if you, like, are willing to sort of ride with it,
yeah,
it's a good ride. It tops you good sometimes.
Well, here's the thing. If they're listening to this podcast, they obviously have that kind of just church mouse sense of humor that we share.
Absolutely.
I don't know if I should recommend it to my brethren and sistren.
I don't know.
No, I'm kidding.
I don't know what to recommend people.
I can't wait to see it. I've heard it's so much fun. I love the cast album.
Yeah. What was the last thing you've seen on the theater ways, John?
I saw Wicked last night.
Yes, you did.
The show still holds. She's still green.
Did you see Broadway Bounty Hunter? Because I did.
I didn't. No, I've heard words about Broadway Bounty Hunter
that
explain things in it that are... It was a show.
It was a show. I saw it and it was a show. I will say two things. I think it... Well, for me, two things means like nine things. But...
No.
What? It's a really weird idea. And I don't mean weird like bad. I mean, I'm totally into the
idea.
Is
it that she's like looking for Bernadette Peters?
No, but like that's what I thought. Did we? No, I was texting Mike about this, not you.
Uh-huh.
After I saw it, I was like, I don't know what I was expecting. Like, I thought she was going to be like a bounty hunter for Broadway musicals or something like that.
Yeah.
No, she like Annie Golden plays herself.
Oh,
like
okay.
A fictionalized version of herself.
Sure.
But it's all about how like her career is going nowhere, which is like hilarious to us because in real life, Annie Golden's career has never been better. She's been on
right.
Orange is the New Black and Violet and
right.
has this now. But basically, like
the Annie Golden revival has been glorious to watch.
Absolutely, it's the golden age of Annie Golden. It's
yes,
the Annie Golden
that.
Age.
Yes, yes, it is
Annie Golden age. But yeah, so like she gets recruited to be a bounty hunter, like a real bounty hunter. But the whole show, they don't use the term anymore because it's a little problematic to have a musical reference blaxploitation movies and have a white female protagonist.
Yeah,
instead of
yeah.
like a instead of an actual like I don't know. Cynthia Erivo or Renee Lee Goldsberry. But, like, the other thing about blaxploitation movies is that they aren't necessarily PC. And
no.
So if you try to be PC about it, it's fine. It's fine. That's the genre they're going for. But it should be a 90-minute musical. And it's, like, a two-hour-plus, two-act musical. Yeah. Also, there's a sight gag in the show. Because those of you who do know who Annie Golden is know she's the original Squeaky Frome in Assassins.
Yep.
It's one of her biggest claim to fame. She shows up to her first day of bounty hunter training in an assassin sweatshirt. And I was the only person in the theater who laughed at it. Like, I think it took everybody a minute to, like, realize what it was. But I let out such a guttural
like,
laugh.
Oh, I have the same sweatshirt, Annie Golden.
Annie Golden, that's my sweatshirt. Where'd you steal my... I literally just went, aha! And I was with my editor, who then laughed at me laughing. And then everybody started laughing at me laughing.
No, I don't believe that. Who could laugh at you?
God. The same thing happened, though, when I saw Aladdin. Did you ever see Aladdin?
No. Sorry.
No, you don't. I mean, you don't need to. But I think I mentioned it before. There was a line in Aladdin where Jafar says to him, Aladdin, don't you understand? You're the chosen one. And Aladdin goes, I think the chosen people are a few hundred miles to the west. And the New Amsterdam Theater is a theater of 1,700 people. And I saw Aladdin in its first year on Broadway, so it was a full house. I was the only one who laughed at that joke, but it wasn't a laugh of, like, that's genuinely funny, more of a laugh of, I can't believe they made that joke. And so it was the similar, oh-ha, kind of thing. And then everybody laughed at that.
You dumb bitch.
I'm such a dumb bitch.
You dumb bitch.
Stupid bitch. Sorry, so Wicked, and then what was the other one?
You were talking about Broadway Bounty
yeah,
Hunter.
Yeah, I know.
I'm trying
I
to
know.
Think of the thing.
I just stole the floor from
what
you.
What have I seen?
You just talked
that?
About cancer for a very long time, so I need to take the floor.
Sorry,
back.
No. I mean, you can keep talking about the shows that you saw. You keep talking about your shows, and I'll think about what I've seen.
All right, I'll keep talking about. I'll go into some things that I did not like, and because I'm me, I'm very honest about it. I saw Pretty Woman. Finally, I
and
kept
you
on.
Didn't like Pretty Woman.
I kept entering the lottery, and I kept entering it for two tickets because I wanted to go with you, and I kept losing. And I finally said, what if I cut my dead weight and apply for one? And I applied for one, and I won the fucking lottery!
That tracks.
It absolutely tracks.
That tracks.
And I won, and I saw it, and I saw the entire cast. Like, no, I will give them credit. It was a Tuesday night in June, right before the Tony Awards, and everyone was in, not a goddamn understudy, and I give them credit for that.
Yeah.
But that aside, I have, like, I can name on maybe one, I can list on one hand the number of people in that cast that night that gave it their all. And I'm not throwing shade, because Broadway's hard and it could have just been an off night.
Right.
But, like, I give credit to Samantha Barks, who really, like, worked hard and tried. I give credit to Orfei, who I can't say gave a good performance, but, like, every time she was on stage, she was like, pay attention! They were like, yeah, I don't know. I want to just say it was trash, and not, but I don't want to be mean, but at the same time, I was just very angry watching it.
Yeah, I still don't understand how it survived the mass closedness.
Like, well, I mean, it is closing.
Oh, it is?
It is. It closes this week.
Wait, it is?
Yeah. It's one of the many.
Oh, I didn't realize. Oh, yeah. I must have just forgotten about. I don't think about the show off. I'm not kidding. I can count probably on more hands than you could of the people that were like giving fucks. I could probably count on two or three hands the amount of times in the last month alone that I have walked by that theater and gone, wait, it's still open?
Right? Right? Well, it's okay. So as everybody knows, there's the big mass exodus of Broadway. Broadway right. always
the,
goes...
The August Massacre.
The August Massacre. Mm, let's not use that word. The
Oh, no, you're right. Sorry.
Summer cleaning.
We're America.
We can't use that word. It's not Broadway spring cleaning. It's Broadway summer cleaning. Like, it's Broadway's cleaning house right now.
Yeah.
Which
Broadway
is...
Broadway sad emoji.
Sure. It's all just sort of a lot of things have lined up. So, like, last week, the prom and Be More Chill closed. This week, Pretty Woman, King Kong, and The Cher Show close.
And Broadway Bounty Hunter closed.
And Broadway Bounty Hunter, yes.
Yeah, because we closed last week, and they closed a week after us, because I was like, once again, made us feel much better. We're like, everything's closing.
Everything's closing. It's fine. They were doing okay for a while, and then they started kind of petering out. And, like, I'm not one to throw shade at source material. If, you know, a good musical could truly come from anywhere.
Yeah.
And I don't begrudge the writers for doing a bad job because they'd never written a musical before. Like, how hard they tried, I'll never know.
Yeah.
How much sway Jerry Mitchell had in getting them to write better material, I'll never know.
Yeah.
What I will say is that the songs truly added nothing. Mm. The lyrics were bland. Actually, sorry. Our friend Mike Bello talks about the big, like, 11 o'clock number with the main character played by Samantha Barks, where, you know, Julia Roberts, she's a prostitute. She starts dating a rich man, and at the end she's like, I'm classier than I thought I was. She has an 11 o'clock number called I Can't Go Back. And he says, the song could literally be retitled, I Won't Be Poor.
I will not not be poor.
I will not not be poor. And, like, literally, it fits. You're like, I'm a different girl and I can't be poor. Like, she won't be poor anymore.
Wow, you're correct.
Yeah.
God, it's also just... It's of that vein of shows that are happening right now that just also have problematic storylines, I feel. Like, I haven't seen Pretty Woman. I've never seen the movie. I don't know it. But, like, there's no way in my mind that, like... There's still some kind of negative connotation around that, at least to me.
Sure.
Of, like, of this prostitute with a heart of gold and this rich man comes and, like, because that's basically what it is.
Yeah.
It's kind of like Pygmalion with prostitutes.
That's exactly what it is. Yeah. It's what makes things quote unquote problematic are the attitudes of the story, not necessarily the story themselves. I'm, as we've discussed before, I tend to gravitate towards pieces that have, like, complex characters and conflicted feelings throughout. Like, I eat that shit up with a goddamn spoon. Pretty Woman, the movie, is very much a product of 1990 of, like, have a glamorous movie star play a prostitute that you never see in real life. And, you know,
right.
The man, quote unquote, saves her, but she saves him right back. It's like, but does she and does he?
Right.
Like, what do either one of them do? And the musical, rather than, like, try to, like, not fix it, but, like, make modern audiences see it anew by, like, maybe making some tweaks that can delve into it deeper, they literally just put the movie on stage and add pop songs. So it's problematic because you're like, well then what are you trying to do? The one thing they do to try to make it, like, more modern is that in the scene where his business associate tries to take advantage of her, in the movie he slaps her and she just takes it.
What?
Well, because, like, it's the heat of the moment, it's a fight, and, like, Richard Gere comes and he punches Jason Alexander, like, in the nick of time, and it's
Jason Alexander slaps Julia Roberts,
which is, like,
never see this movie.
Well, I think that's one of the reasons why it's dark in the movie, but it's not necessarily horrific because, like, it's Jason Alexander. It's not
right.
Like Sylvester Stallone does not come in and beat Julia Roberts up. It's like this tiny little Jewish man trying really hard to be aggressive, and you're like, oh, sweetie. Oh, like, you ain't Billy Bigelow. But in the musical, she, like, knees him in the groin and punches him in the face, and everyone's like, girl power. And I'm like, she still's relying on the other man to, like, provide for her in every single way.
Yeah.
So it's I'm all for equality and girl power, but I'm, like, actually work hard to do it in a show. Don't just say it and expect me to applaud.
Yeah.
Which brings us to the Cher Show.
I also will just interject now and just be completely transparent, just because of rehearsals and the C word. I realized that I have not seen a show other than Wicked since before even our Tony's podcast. Like, I haven't been able to see a show.
Was the last Broadway show you saw The Prom?
I think I saw one thing after that. I think it was a play, and I can't remember what it was, but I remember we talked about it on here. So,
oh my God.
So, babe, you got the floor. Baby, it's you. Share with me what you got about this show.
I've never been more in love with you than this very moment.
You're welcome. A lot of people fall in love with you when they find out you're dying. It's true.
Have you ever seen any movie from the 90s?
I mean, I'm basically a walk to remember, but I'm more like a cock to remember.
Actually, speaking of Richard Gere and people falling in love with you as you're dying, have you ever seen Autumn in New York?
No.
Do you know what I'm talking about?
I feel like vaguely, but I just... Sometimes those, like... self-mutilation, masturbatory love stories.
Oh,
I just
that.
Can't.
Well, so...
I just can't.
It's like, Richard Gere and Winona Ryder. No. And it's all about a May-December romance.
Goodbye.
Well, so one of the projects I'm working on requires me to... What requires? I'm watching a lot of Winona Ryder movies for research for a certain project.
Are you writing Winona Ryder's biopic?
Maybe. No. It's a work of fiction, but like... her movies are like a check-in point. It's a structural device. I've seen many of her movies before, including Little Women. I own a bunch of them. I've never seen Autumn in New York, and I'd always been told about how terrible it was. I finally watched it, and it's like literally every romantic trope that you hate is in this movie. He's the like rich, cold, doesn't do relationships well man. She's the pixie dream girl who like gets him out of his comfort zone and out of his shell and like tells him to enjoy the moment, and she's great with children.
But let me guess, she has emotional baggage too.
She's dying.
Yeah, that's it.
That's what it
knew,
is.
Knew that one was
and
you come.
And all you find out for the longest time is just that she's sick. They just say she's constantly, they always just say she's sick. She's really sick. They finally say it's like some really weird type of cancer. It's like it's a tumor that no one can actually locate, but it's like apparently part of the brain. So you function everything.
And apparently, it's a floating tumor that affects the brain. I'm familiar.
Well, like they say the name eventually, like an hour and 10 minutes into the movie, and I looked it up and it's real, but it's like very very rare and not really how they like when you watch Winona Ryder in the movie, you're like you're the most glamorous cancer patient I've ever seen.
Well, I mean. Excuse me?
No, I'm looking at you and I'm telling you, you're only second most glamorous. If you didn't eat the eggs today, you'd be most.
Fuck.
But Elaine Stritch plays her grandmother.
What?
But, and then there's another weird part where, like, he used to date her mother.
Nope.
When he was younger.
Shut it down.
And, no, I know. It's, oh my God, it's all this shit. And Elaine Stritch, like, tells her the story about how she broke it up. It's great.
I don't want to hear it anymore. I hate this.
I know. But it's just, it's, oh God, I don't even want, this doesn't have anything to do with anything. Just that, just like another Richard Gere movie.
That's like 90s movies were fucked.
Talk about fucking problematic. Like, it's, oh God. And like Vaseline on the lens to make it all. And he's got a subplot where you like think has a stalker with Vera Famiglia, but it turns out she's his like long lost daughter. It's crazy. It's crazy, crazy, crazy. It's crazy. Crazy, crazy, crazy.
This sounds like a comedy.
It could be.
That could be better.
Oh, and Winona Ryder's character, like her whole deal is that she makes hats, but like you finally see that one of the hats she makes, and it literally just looks like she took a headband and put a piece of pipe cleaner to it and like an origami bird. And she's like, I made a hat.
Oh.
And Sondheim's like, that's not what I meant when I wrote, look, I made a hat.
God.
It's great. Everyone check it out now. It's on Amazon.
When I'm on my narcotics, I might watch this.
Please do.
I might watch this with my mom.
Please
do. This seems like something Sally and I would.
Because, like, it starts and you go, oh, it's not that terrible. Like, there are moments where you're like, this is fine. And then so many other moments where you're like, Jesus fucking Christ.
Yeah. Many holes can sink great ships. You know all about that. With your many holes.
I was about to say, speaking of many holes, the Cher show.
The Cher show.
And I mean that in both the women and the bottoms that are on that stage. Okay. So I'm going to, little PSA, everybody. You have to always go into a show trying to understand what it's trying to accomplish.
No.
whole. That is the case with Beetlejuice, where you go and you're like, it's just trying to give me a good time. Like, I'll give it a few minutes to figure out how it's trying to do that, and then see if I can go along with it.
Yep.
I'm not entirely sure what the Cher show was trying to do. And I feel this way about all bio jukebox musicals these days. It really kind of started with Beautiful. Beautiful was like the template for this, but then every jukebox musical afterwards
has like dissipated from even that. I know what you're talking
where
about.
Where it's all my greatest hits, and the theme is always just every scene is, you can't do that. You're a woman. You're a person of color. You're gay. And then the protagonist goes, watch me. And everybody goes, they did it. Following scene, rinse and repeat, literally until curtain call. Right. And then there's usually a moment where they turn to the audience and they go, you know, I've done a lot of things in my life. I sang, I danced, I overcame adversity. But now I'm standing here in front of you all. Empowering sentence moment for either women, gays, or black people, Hispanic people, Asian people, trans people, people in wheelchairs. Yes. And everybody in the audience goes, whoa, progression. And I sit there and I go, what?
Yeah.
And the Cher shows all of that in a bag of potato chips.
Oh, boy.
Light potato chips, because everyone on that stage, I don't think, has had a carb since 2017.
Quite thin. I've seen photos and some videos, and
Eat
a sandwich.
Eat a damn sandwich. I will say, talented folks on that stage.
V talented.
And all the Bob Mackie Cher clothes are just as glamorously Vegas as they were in the 60s and 70s.
Sure.
I will say, I think I talked about this on the Tony podcast. I was actually quite annoyed that he won costume design, because all the things he designed specifically for the show that weren't her stuff, I found to be quite lacking. Like, all the ensemble members, I found their costumes to be, like, rather cheap looking.
Yeah.
And ill-fitting.
I agree.
And just, like, I found the choreography to be surprisingly sloppy.
Who choreographed it?
I think it's Chris Catelli.
Interesting.
Who, like, did such great work on Newsies and all of the stuff. The Bart Cher, I think, is great. This was just sort of, like, kick, split, cooter slam, twist, 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 twist. It was like a Zumba class and a threesome all in one.
Well, we've all been there.
Haven't we? What Zumba class hasn't turned into a giant orgy in the end?
Honestly... Sometimes not enough.
Not enough.
I've left many a Yelp review. Many a Yelp review.
Oh, hi, Natalie Walker. similar to Lindsay Mendez and Carousel, I am thrilled that Stephanie J. Block is now a Tony Award winner.
Sure.
I am not thrilled that this is what she won for.
Yeah, it definitely felt, once again, hugest SJB,
yeah.
Like, hugest. Could not, and I have not seen the Cher show, but I will say there are certain Tony wins that feel like this is for your body of work.
/ there's no one else this year that we'd vote over you.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's, the Tonys are weird, because, like, there's a they only really do consolation prizes if there isn't any other major stiff competition in their eyes anyway. Like, Kelly O'Hara should have won for Bridges of Madison County, not just because she was phenomenal, but because it was her fifth nomination.
Right.
She still lost to Jesse Mueller, because while Jesse Mueller was great, she also had all that buzz behind her.
Yes.
I feel like if there was a Jesse Mueller in Beautiful kind of performance this year, SJB might not have won.
Right.
Also a huge fan. You cannot find two skinnier gays in a room than me and John, who are as big SJB fans as we are.
Yeah.
But, like, she's barely in Act One, first of all.
Really?
Barely. Like, it's really more about the younger Chers in the first act, who are both great. The youngest one in particular, she's 19.
Yeah, she's a baby, and I've heard she's amazing.
Yeah, her and Sophia and Caruso, I just kind of want to kill them.
Let's kill them.
How dare you be under 20 with these Broadway shows and just sing the way you do?
Yeah. All these fucking Jimmy Awards walking around.
So, all these goddamn Jimmy Award winners. Broadway's filled with them.
Yeah, it's the new Jimmy Awards is the new black. That sounded weird.
Why even go to college anymore? Just be a Jimmy Award winner.
Tell me about your Cher show, babe.
I'm a gay man, I do like Cher a lot. I love Moonstruck. Love the Witches of Eastwick.
Sure. Never seen any of those.
You never seen Moonstruck?
Nope.
Bitch.
I know. I'm very bad.
Have you seen Working Girl at least?
Nope.
motherfucking bitch. Yep. Oh, God. Okay. I'm going to show up to your goddamn hospital room.
I feel like we've gone over this. I have this thing about 80s and early 90s movies where I just hate the color palettes and the fashion. And I can't get into the story because I'm like, this is ugly to look at.
I get that. Working girl, you're going to have that problem for the first 10 minutes because they're all Staten Island girls coming over with their big hair. But Working Girl is the most, like, progressively feminist movie of that decade.
I have heard that. Actually, my best friend always screams at me because he loves Working Girl so much, and he's like, you just need to watch it. And especially when Bob's Burgers did that Working Girl musical episode.
I'm a working girl. I know that entire score. I've watched it so many times. You would like Moonstruck a lot as well. And Cher, it's Cher's Oscar. You can't be a true gay unless you've seen it. Yeah, I don't know. Like, the show, just, it felt like it was trying to, it was such a diva worship of her, which is fine in a way, but it also doesn't make it a compelling musical because protagonists need to have some flaws to them other than the fact that, like, they chose the wrong person to marry for a short time.
Right.
Which is, like, that's Carole King's only flaw in Beautiful. Like, Donna Summer's only flaw in the Summer musical, quote unquote, is that she married the wrong guy for a while. It's like,
Well, here's the tea from, like, some direct forces, because I'm sure the reason why that is, and because Beautiful suffered from it immensely, and I know people who worked on that original production from the out of town into it, and it's just tough, because these people that are so used to being in the public eye are now being told, like, we're going to write a musical about you, and then suddenly they have to look at their life and look at their choices, and they go, oh, you can't put that in.
No.
And so it's crazy because we keep letting this happen, but the people keep going, we just keep getting this extremely squeaky clean version of the story without conflict, without character flaws, without all these things. And that's why note how in a lot of those, like, jukebox musicals, like, they were so, so big and would run for such a long time. I feel like, I mean, Beautiful ran for quite a long time, but, like, I mean, Cher Show, just, like, quick turnaround. Like, everything's just closing because it's just not...
It's not compelling.
No.
Well, so think about... It all really kind of started with Jersey Boys when you think about it. Because, like, Mamma Mia was huge, but it was a very different kind of jukebox musical.
Extremely different.
Different storyline.
Right, exactly.
It wasn't about ABBA.
It was about the best story that's ever been written.
Abso-fucking-lutely. Jersey Boys, no one knew what it was going to become. And at the time, like, having a musical about your life was not necessarily looked at as, like, an easy way to make millions and millions of dollars.
Right.
And so all the Four Seasons being interviewed, like, were very honest and upfront about their careers and their flaws. But, and because they all interviewed each other separately, you had all these conflicting stories of, like, who did what, and you had a lot more conflict and grit to it. And then the show became this huge success, but then after that, everybody's like, well, I want that too, but don't include that moment that I screwed that person over, or I said that thing. Like, it must be the most glamorous version of me. And that's fine for a minute, but none of them have lasted nearly as long as Jersey Boys, and that's really the reason why.
Exactly. I think so as well.
Yeah. If you go see Ain't Too... And it's also because these people are still alive.
Yes.
And have that, except for Donna Summer, but, like, her family controlled the writing of that show.
Right.
And it's the same thing with Ain't Too Proud. The only member of the Temptations that's still alive is the one that is the main character of the show, and he comes out looking fucking squeaky clean.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that's not a mistake.
This is why I am so adamantly against the Michael Jackson musical.
The reason why? I know
I've gone over all the reasons a thousand times. I've been on this soapbox so many times, but like, the format's been set. I highly doubt the Jackson estate and the Jackson family, because of the way that they've already so many times publicly stated their views of the situation, we're gonna get the most squeaky clean version of a sex offender ever. On Broadway ever, and that's disgusting.
It is, absolutely. I mean,
so there you have it.
Yeah, no, and they say, like, oh, we will address it. It's like, no, you won't.
No.
You're going to address it in a way that the boys and their families are, like, money-grubbing leeches, and they're going to not even be on stage.
We're going to see how tough that was for Michael to deal with that.
And you know what it's going to be? Somebody's going to come on stage and go, Michael, have you read the trades lately? People are saying this about you.
Yep.
Then they go off stage, and he's going to turn to the audience and go, When people said this about me, I thought...
Yep. Yeah, it's going to be... yeah, I honestly have never thought about, like, picketing outside a show before, but every time I just see more and more announcements about it, and, like, it's upcoming, and these workshops and all this stuff, I'm just like, I would gladly picket. Stand outside and picket. Yeah. I would gladly do that.
Yeah, I think I would, too.
Yeah.
And we thought cancer was bad.
Yeah. That's the other thing, too. Could not recommend cancer enough, because never had a fuck to give. Less fucks to give. I was telling a friend the other day everything that happened in Central Park, and, you know, we're a very, very dear, dear, close friend, and we're having a very intimate conversation, and one of those monks came up to us with those, like, kind of, like, shiny pendants that they hand out, and I was once with Caitlin Kinnunen, where they gave her one, and then she was like, oh, thank you, and they go, they were like, oh, it's $10, and she was like, oh, I only have a 20, can I get change? They took the 20 and ran. And so, all a scam. All
awful. Of course.
This monk came up to me while I'm telling the story, bearing my soul, shoves it in my face. I turn to them without missing a beat and go, no, fuck you, Satan. And I turn back and, like, tell my story, because I don't have a fuck to give.
No.
You're a trash person. If you're a trash person...
No.
And if I'm a trash person, I should be treated like a trash person. So treat me like a trash person, Matt.
I do, all the time. I peed on you yesterday.
Yeah, but you didn't have cum in it.
Brought it back around, motherfucker.
Yeah, we did something.
All right. So you've all been very patient. We will wrap this up with the story that we hinted at earlier.
Yes.
I told John the story before we recorded.
Oh, wait. Sorry. I meant that I didn't want to brag, but we have to at least acknowledge it a little bit.
Oh,
thank you, everyone who's been so kind in reaching out to me and being so supportive and wonderful. And I have the best people in the world. But I also... If we could actually play the audio from this would be amazing. But, friends of mine heard that Bernadette Peters was at Ain't Too Proud to Beg this week, and cast members stopped her and had her record a video for me, sending me good wishes for my surgery, to which Matt was like, well, fuck me, like, nothing I will ever do will be good enough, and I was like, nope. Bernadette Peters just sent me a
In case
sent
anyone was wondering, yes, I absolutely did make John's cancer about myself.
Yeah, he always does.
Always do. And then on top of that, Michelle Williams watched your tribute to her.
Oh, wait, yes. Sorry, something just happened because my phone, I guess, wasn't having service, so I just got, like, 20 text messages in a row.
Oh, jeez.
You could cut that out. Yeah, so Michelle Williams saw my tribute to her, and I was featured in this article, which was really fun and surprising. The moral of the story is get cancer and really cool things happen to you.
Absolutely.
Okay, so let's take it back around, tell the story, close this bitch out.
And this also relates to cancer. So you can find this video on YouTube with Seth Rudetsky. Marissa Jarrett Winoker, who's the original Tracy Turnblad in Hairspray, was on Seth Rudetsky's, like, interview video for Playbill. And she talked about how the first reading of Hairspray, like a backer's audition or something like that, she had just been diagnosed with breast cancer, like, the day before. And had to go do this backer's audition / reading, whatever. And Jennifer Lewis was playing Motormouth Maybell in this. And if you don't know Jennifer Lewis, she's been around forever.
She also has the most iconic judging sequence in
RuPaul's
Drag Race.
Yeah.
Like, literally, we were watching her, and I was like, why is she not a constant judge?
She should always be a constant judge. If you do watch Drag Race, she does guest on it. And then Shangela played her for Snatch Game.
Oh, yes.
Jennifer Lewis.
Yes.
That's one eye, one eye, and a whole lot of talent. and that the truth is that is what Jennifer Lewis is like. She is...
Yes.
She's been around forever. She's successful.
And she gives no fucks.
And she gives absolutely no fucks. Because in her mind, like, she is the greatest thing to happen to the planet Earth. And in some ways, she is.
Yes,
but, like,
I do agree.
You would think that she has had the singing career of Barbra Streisand, the acting career of Meryl Streep, and the business career of, I don't know, whoever the most business person is. Like,
Joe Business.
You would think that she's these three people combined based on the way she talks about herself. So this woman's playing Motormouth Maybell. National Treasure, Jennifer Lewis. And Marissa Jarrett Winoker is, like, basically having a breakdown throughout the entire first act of Hairspray because she was diagnosed with breast cancer the day before. Hadn't told anybody. But she's, like, crying her way through Good Morning Baltimore, crying her way through I Can Hear the Bells. And everybody's like, the fuck's going on? And nobody's coming up to her. But so they get to intermission. Jennifer Lewis drags her out into the hallway and she goes, You are on stage with Miss Jennifer Lewis. You need to get it together. And
I'm upset.
It's amazing. And
I
then
can't
like that,
I've never heard this.
And that's like the first part of a longer story with her, where she finally told Jennifer Lewis about the cancer, and like that became a running joke with them. Was like Jennifer Lewis always telling her, "You'll never be as rich as me. You'll never be as talented as me. You'll never be as more famous as me." And I told John the story. He was obsessed with it. So now that's become one of our running jokes. You're on stage with Miss Jennifer Lewis. You need to get it together.
We're going
to
say it all the time. So just,
you need to get it together.
You guys need to get it together and get into it. Because we're the new Jennifer Lewis's.
We are the new Jennifer Lewis's. Get into it. Get it together.
Get it together.
Normally I'd say we should close out with Jennifer Lewis. But I don't think there are any Broadway recordings of her. So
are there not?
No, I don't think. I don't know if she's ever actually done Broadway. Unless she, like, replaces Motor Mouth and Hairspray at one point. She's not... She didn't originate it.
Right, I know she didn't originate. But there's not, like, a bootleg of it?
Maybe? I don't know. I don't want to play a bootleg.
Yeah, that's not...
Last time someone asked me to play a bootleg on the show, it was Kevin Duda. And it was not as fun as I wanted it to be.
Sure.
But, yeah. So, we'll wrap this episode up. You'll hear from me again quite soon, everybody. John less so.
Yeah, but if you just feel like sending me just, like, gold...
Gold.
Do it.
Don't just send him gold. Just do it. If you want to, if you happen to find, I don't know, Katrina Lenk on the street and ask her to, you know, wish John well on his surgery.
I mean, it's been crazy. Like I was saying, how nice people are. I mean, I was even pushing my luck last night because, you know, they were like, you know, come backstage afterwards at Wicked. So I stood on the stage with the Gershwin, but jokingly earlier in the day, he was like, you know, come on stage, blah, 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 blah. And I was like, LOL. And then I was like, you know what? I'm just going to push my luck. And I was like, if they need to know my weight for the Alphaba lift. I didn't, no. But,
Well, that stagehand went home by that point. They weren't going to lift you up just because you had cancer.
I know. What a bitch.
Broadway doesn't do Make-A-Wish. That's Disney World.
I know. We were laughing, though. I was like, could you imagine some fucking 31-year-old, like, the article, like, 31-year-old weird actor gets a Make-A-Wish at Wicked the Musical.
Just sit down on the cherry picker. So then,
Who should play us out?
I don't know.
We've had Stephanie play us out before, right?
I think, yes, we had Stephanie play us out because she did Boy from Oz.
Yes.
I'm trying to think who we haven't had.
What was the first show you talked about? We could do...
Beetlejuice.
We could do Leslie Kritzer.
Yeah, we could do Leslie Kritzer.
Either from Beetlejuice or from Legally Blonde.
Like Holly Bloom. She doesn't, like, have quite a long enough solo in Legally Blonde to
Oh, yeah,
make
she
it
did.
Worth
she
it.
Had a longer one in War and Peace when it was before it
yeah,
was positive.
Yeah, Love and War.
Love and
oh,
War, that's
fair.
It.
Which is just positive in
a minor key. I know. It's brilliant. Larry O'Keefe, I love you.
I know, love it. We could do her. Actually, you know what? Let's do Sophia and Caruso because
yeah.
Dead Mom is the bop of the season.
I agree.
Yeah.
She's a bop.
All right. So thank you for listening, everybody. I'm sure I will truncate this quite a bit.
Yes.
We will see you next time. And in the meantime, here's Sophia
and
Caruso.
I'm going to miss you guys. Aww. Talk to you soon.
Bye.
But I hope I don't die. Bye.
Oh, my God. John, and now we're playing Dead Mom. Oh. That is the worst thing.
Oh, please.
That's up there with August Massacre.
You would not be so lucky to have me die.
No. With the way my luck's been going, you're going to live for 30,000 years.
Forever.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.